Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our first guest of the day. His name is Cordell Woodland. He is with 105.7 The Fan out in Baltimore. He covers the Ravens, getting you ready for week four as these two teams find themselves at 1-2. This is a very important swing game for both Kansas City and Baltimore. Cordell, man, happy to have you join us on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Let's start with this. I know why the Chiefs are 1-2. Why are the Ravens 1-2?
Well, they can't stop anybody. That's for one. Struggled to get that Bills offense off the field, especially as that game started to slip away from them. Pivotal moments in the game, especially at the end of the first half in that Bills game where they allowed them to steal 3 points away, just mental errors, poor tackling, not being able to get to the quarterback. That was a major issue. Zero sacks for them Monday night against the Detroit Lions in a game where they just couldn't stop the Lions at all. And what's really concerning is the Ravens can't seem to stop the run game these days. The Lions, 224 rush yards on them. James Cook had a pretty good day. I thought Quinshon Judkins was able to look solid against the Ravens in week two. So defense, their number one issue. And Derrick Henry not being able to hold on to the football all of a sudden has kind of bit them in two of these three losses as well, or two of the three games, I should say.
How much of the Ravens' defensive problems do you think it's really them not being the defense that you expect or the opponent that they've gone up against? It's one thing to give up points to the Bills and the Lions. We're talking about two of the most prolific offenses in the National Football League. You would agree that's not where Kansas City is. They are ranked 21st, but they also got Mahomes. They also got Reed, so they're always pretty dangerous. I think this is a very important game for both teams' defenses. Kansas City struggled in week one against the Chargers, and you guys have struggled against some of the better teams in the National Football League so far on defense.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. We'll see which defense stands up. I mean, thankfully, in the case of the Ravens, scoring has not been an issue for their offense. I mean, they scored over 40 points twice now. The defense helped contribute to that 40 points that they scored against Cleveland. But Lamar has kind of been on fire for the most part. Him getting sacked 7 times against Detroit, you don't love that. But I think that's helped the defense out a little bit. They've been in all these games. They just haven't been able to pull them out. So, yeah, I am curious to see which defense stands up. Now, for the Ravens, I mean, Nnamdi Matabike not being there, he's dealing with a neck issue right now, and that seems like that could be really serious for him. Kyle Van Noy's not there. So we're talking about two of their better defensive linemen not being there. And I talked about them not being able to get pressure on Goff. If they're not able to get pressure on Mahomes, that could definitely be a problem. So I am curious to see which defenses stand up or which offenses are able to kind of carry the load on Sunday.
Right now, we're talking to Cordell Woodland, taking a closer look at the Baltimore Ravens ahead of their matchup on Sunday against the Chiefs in week four. You mentioned the fumbles from Derrick Henry. How concerned are you about these? Is this just kind of one of those, it's just a rough stretch, or is this sign that there's a possible decline for Derrick Henry?
I mean, you have to have some level of concern, right? I mean, he's fumbled in 3 straight games. And he's done it in pivotal moments of the game. Now, it's never a great time to fumble the football, but it just feels like the times that it has come for him in the Buffalo game, definitely was a huge part of that game swinging. And the Detroit game, I mean, he fumbles deep in his own territory. The defense actually stood up and only held Detroit to three, keeping it as a one-possession game deep in the second half. So they still had a chance. But, yeah, it's, for me, it's the issue of when these fumbles are happening. And the reality is, it's not like this is a typical back that when they start having some ball security issues, you know, you're threatening their playing time. You're threatening to start playing the guy behind them. There is nobody behind Derrick Henry. I mean, Justice Hill's there. Keaton Mitchell's been a healthy scratch to this point in the season. There's nobody competing with Derrick Henry in terms of his playing time. So he has to figure it out because they're going to continue to play him. And I think he will. I don't think if we're talking about the decline of Derrick Henry, I don't think the fumbles will be the primary thing. If it is that, I think it'll just be him not being able to kind of make something out of nothing as often as he has in the past. But I do think over time these fumbles will go away.
The Ravens were sacked seven times. Lamar was sacked seven times on Monday night. Is that Lamar holding on to the ball too long? Is this indicative of a problem with the offensive line? You mentioned it. They didn't get any pressure on Jared Goff. The Lions got all the pressure on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, a little bit of everything. You don't get sacked seven times and it's all on the offensive line. I am a believer that too many sacks, it does become a quarterback stat. And just watching that game, I think some of it was Detroit having a really good game plan, a really good scheme. And I thought they did a really good job of kind of disguising their pressure, disguising who the spy was. And I thought they did a good job of where they put the spy. A lot of the times the spy would line up right at the line of scrimmage and he'd back off, but he's standing right there. I mean, maybe a yard or two behind the defensive line. He's not going very far. So Lamar didn't have a lot of space to really get out of there. And I do think some of it is Lamar's holding the ball a little too long, or he's taking too long to decide to take off. And it's a double-edged sword with Lamar, because him holding the ball too long and making something out of nothing is what makes him so great. So I'm not going to sit here and praise him when he fumbles a snap and then all of a sudden stiff arms a guy and throws a 40-yard touchdown pass, but then throw tomatoes at him when he's taking sacks for holding the ball too long. It's what comes with it. But he's got to be quicker with his decision-making, I think. And I do think the Ravens have to do a better job of not giving him all these long developing routes, especially when you see that the pressure has been getting there over the course of the game. Hopefully that's a big change for them this week, knowing when to go to some of the quick passing game.
Maybe you think it's too early to have this thought, but this is certainly a thought that's crossed my mind. I'm sure you've been asked this question or you've heard this sentiment before. I wonder if the Ravens are just going to be this generation's Houston Rockets. Like the Houston Rockets with James Harden, they were a great regular season team, and they would always just kind of bump their head against the Warriors or against the Thunder. I wonder if that's going to end up being the case for this Ravens team. They lost to Buffalo in the regular season. They lost to him in the postseason. Lamar is 1-5 against Mahomes in the regular season, never beaten Josh Allen in the postseason, never beaten Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. Do you feel like they're, like this window is still open for the Ravens? Do you still trust their ability to one day get over the hump and be a championship team?
Yeah, I mean, I do think their window is still open. Lamar is still as elite as they come, and as long as he's upright, they'll have a chance. They still have a ton of talent on this team. They're also banged up. You know, I mentioned Madubuike and Van Noy. Ronnie Stanley hasn't practiced this week. So, I mean, it's looking like a big question mark over at left tackle for this game, and we'll see what that looks like going forward. But injuries were the big thing for me coming into this year that I was concerned about, because they have been relatively healthy these last couple of seasons and haven't been able to capitalize on that in the postseason. You mentioned the Rockets. I think at least for me, the big difference between the two teams is watching the Rockets throughout the Rockets aren't built for the postseason. They were exciting in the regular season, and Harden will put up all these big numbers against these teams in the regular season. But you get in the postseason and teams able to game plan against you. I just didn't think that the Rockets roster-wise was built for the postseason, whereas the Ravens, I mean, you got backfield with Lamar and Derrick Henry. They've got all pros and pro bowlers on the offensive line, defensive line. I mean, literally at every level on the defense, they have a household name. Zay Flowers was great last year. The Ravens should be built to win in the postseason, but they just haven't been able to do it, at least not do it enough. So I think until they do it, the questions will be there. But I also think as long as Lamar Jackson is in town, they'll always have a shot.
Right now, we're talking to Cordell Woodland for a couple more minutes. He is with 105.7 The Fan out in Baltimore. Maybe this was just frustration after a loss in week one, but we found some post-game audio, and fans were not very happy with Harbaugh. Was that just frustration after a loss, or are people starting to get frustrated that Baltimore hasn't been able to get over the hump, at least with Lamar?
Oh, yeah, people have been upset with Harbaugh for a while now. I mean, it's kind of the thing of, you know, when every time they lose, the coach's name is going to be brought up. It just is what it is. I mean, and some of it's justifiable. I mean, Harbs has had ample opportunities with this team. I mean, Lamar is what, this is year eight, I think, for Lamar. I mean, how many chances do you get? He's a two-time MVP. They've had the number one seed twice. They've hosted an AFC championship game. They've had a team full of all pros and pro bowlers. I mean, most coaches don't get the opportunities that Harbs has gotten. So I do think it's justified, and Harbs has made some mistakes of his own that don't help the Ravens win on the margins in some of these pivotal games against good teams. I'm not going to sit here and act like John Harbaugh isn't a great coach. I do think he is. He has a Super Bowl to his name. The resume speaks for itself. But sometimes you just run out of time. Andy went through that in Philly. And I think it's not out of the realm of possibility to think that could be the case with Harbaugh. Now, he did sign a 3-year extension in the offseason. I don't know what the future holds for him, but I'll say if they don't at least make it to the AFC championship game, I can't help but feel like some sort of change would be coming.
Right now, we're taking a closer look at the Baltimore Ravens. These two teams are 1-2. Cordell, which team do you think needs this game more? Do you think it's Kansas City or Baltimore?
You know, that's funny. I've actually been trying to figure that part out myself. It's amazing that both of these teams are in a position to where they could be going into week five at 1-3. It's crazy to think. But I guess with the ways that the divisions are set up, I guess this is a bigger game for Kansas City in my mind, because the Chargers, at least right now, they look legit. And I do think the Chargers could be a good team. I'm not going to sit here and think that I'm buying that the way that the Chargers have looked to this point is who they are this year. I got to see it over the course of time because I know how they can be. Denver is solid. I mean, that division is better than the AFC North. So if you look at it like that, sure, I think this is a bigger game for the Chiefs. But I also think it's a big game for the Ravens because they lose this game, they've now lost to all the three teams that they faced to this point that were playoff teams last year, that are teams that have true Super Bowl aspirations. And for me, it would mean something to me, the fact that the Ravens just seem like they can't beat a good team. That's how I would be able to take it right now. And the schedule doesn't get any easier. They got Houston after you guys, and then the Rams before the bye week. So you start to ask, can they beat some of these good teams, especially in tight game situations late in the game? So I think they both have questions they need to answer. But because of the way that the divisions are set up, I do believe it's a bigger game for the Chiefs.
You mentioned the division that the Ravens are in. Are you a believer in the Steelers?
I was to a degree. Like, I thought that the moves that they made this offseason helped raise their floor, but I still didn't look at them as a team that was going to win a playoff game. I thought they could be a wild card team, get the seventh seed, and lose in the wild card the way they always do. But that defense has been atrocious. They can't run the ball. The offensive line is still an issue. I think it's very dangerous to put everything on the plate of Aaron Rodgers and ask him at this stage of his career to go out there and win you football games on a weekly basis. So the fact that their defense just hasn't turned it around yet, TJ Watt is on a milk carton. I don't really feel great about them right now. I mean, the Browns look like they have the best defense in the division. And honestly, if the Browns actually knew how to win, they'd be 2-1 at worst right now. But yeah, I don't really believe in the Steelers anymore over the long term, just because of, you know, their defense being so bad, and obviously Burrow going down with the Bengals. If the Ravens can't win this division, I don't know what else to say.
Cordell, give me an X factor on the Baltimore Ravens. I would say for Kansas City, this is probably not a name that you guys have spent a lot of time talking about, but Tyquan Thornton has really emerged these last couple of weeks as a player that Patrick Mahomes trusts. He had a big catch down the field last week. There's certainly a level of expectation for him now. Do you guys have one of those kind of players? Is there a player outside of the names that we know that can have a big game on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, Thornton's a good one. I'm curious to see what role he has or what his role looks like, I should say, with Worthy coming back. But for the Ravens, I would say, you know, Mark Andrews, I guess. And it's crazy to think of Mark Andrews as an X factor because he's kind of been the face of their passing offense for a long time, up until recently, with the evolution of their wide receivers, with Zay being so good and Rashad Bateman. But I think they do need Mark to be Mark. And Mark had a great game against the Lions, caught two touchdowns, was able to bounce back. Zay wasn't really involved. I don't think that's going to be the case on the norm. I think Zay does pick it back up this week. But if Zay can produce and Mark can jump in and also give Lamar that short to intermediate target in the middle of the field that can make some explosive plays, I think that'd be huge for them, especially in the red zone, where shockingly enough, this team has struggled to this point. Mark was great for them in the red zone last year. If he could do that again this week, I think that'd be a huge boost for them.
Cordell, I'll get you out of here with this final question. Give me your Chiefs win-if scenario. Give me your Ravens win-if scenario.
Well, I think the Chiefs win. I think the Chiefs win if they're able to contain that offense enough. Like I said, the Ravens offense hadn't really been an issue at all this year outside of Henry's fumbles. Now, them running the ball has struggled. They struggled with that the last 2 weeks. I think it's the first time in the Lamar Jackson era where they've been held to under 100 rushing yards in back-to-back games. And that's crazy to think with Derrick Henry back there as well. But yeah, I think if the Chiefs can kind of limit the Ravens offense, keep them to 30 or under, and keep that run game bottled up to where you limit the explosive plays, I think that's a great recipe for success for them. I think the Ravens win if they can get a couple of turnovers. They talked about that all offseason defensively, and they haven't really been able to do that at all, at least in the games against these good teams like the Lions and the Bills. If they could force Mahomes into a couple of turnovers, that would help. And it'd also help if they could actually put some pressure on them, because they weren't able to do that against the other two good offenses they faced.
That is our guy, Cordell Woodland, joining us on the show. He does fantastic work for 105.7 The Fan out in Baltimore. Cordell, great stuff, man. Look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. That is Cordell Woodland joining us on the show today. Always happy to take a closer look at the upcoming opponent for the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to play this for you guys very quickly. Nick Wright was asked the question that we just asked Cordell. Who needs this game more? Who is this game more important for? Nick thinks that it's the road team.
The Chiefs would like to win. The Ravens need to win. And Kansas City is in a spot where once they lost their first two games and knew they had Baltimore in week four, it's like, all right, 1-3 is very possible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, 1-3 is more than on the board here, and we have reason to believe things can get better once Rashee Rice gets back, and we have reason to believe that things on the defensive end are already trending in the right direction. I also think Kansas City has not been embarrassed this year. I thought they played really poorly in week one, and they were in it. I thought they played fine in week two as far as overall team, and I think should have, could have won that game. I don't think they left the Eagles game frustrated, angered, but not like, the hell's, you know what I mean? Yeah. What the hell's wrong with us? I think Baltimore has been in two different ways embarrassed this year, and the one win they had, I don't think they felt great about. Like, the losing to Buffalo the way they did, maybe embarrassing is the wrong word, but concerning.
It was just disheartening.
Disheartening, I mean,
they gave that
and
one away.
And having Detroit run all over you the way they did in your building and kind of, you know, more alpha male you in a football sense can be demoralizing. And for that team with that DNA, as you talk about, embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm on the opposite side of this argument of Nick. I think some of the arguments that he made, you could kind of make against the Chiefs. I mean, I don't think the Chiefs feel great about their win on Sunday. I think they're just happy that they got a win. Now, I mean, Baltimore's one win is against the Cleveland Browns. They beat them 41-17. No one is thumping their chest off you just going in and putting it on the Cleveland Browns. But I don't know if the Chiefs are thrilled about their performance. Certainly not in the first 30 minutes of the game. The final 30 minutes of the game were a drastic improvement. You can't say that about the first half of that game. That was not a great effort from the Kansas City Chiefs. The reason I would answer, I think Kansas City needs this game more than Baltimore, is the division that they're in. The Chargers are 3-0 with a win against all three of the other teams in the division. I don't know if the Chiefs can afford to fall to 1-3. The Chargers beat the Giants. Now the Chargers are 4-0. They already have one win against you, and they have clearly kind of lapped the division in the first month of the season. I don't know if that's a position that you can be in. I just think the Ravens are in a different position because of where they kind of sit in their own division. Cincinnati right now has a better record than Baltimore, but they also don't have their starting quarterback, and he's not coming back anytime soon. Cleveland might be a really good defense, a more competitive team, but Cleveland is winning, what, 5-6 games at the absolute most? So if anything, you're looking at the division in the AFC North like it's a two-team division between Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and you still got two games against them that you can easily make that ground up. Now, you got to win those games. You got to take care of your own business, but you're not really out of it. If the Chiefs fall to 1-3 and the Chargers potentially go to 4-0, you just got a lot of time to make up, and you still got a lot of really, really big, difficult games. You got the Lions coming up in a couple of weeks. You got the Commanders coming up in a few weeks as well. You go on the road still in your divisional matchups. Like, yeah, the pathway is much different for the Chiefs with the loss than I think it is for the Ravens. It goes without saying, both teams need to win this game, and I've talked about it being a swing game and what it could potentially mean for either one of these teams to be 2-2 as opposed to 1-3 heading into October. But I just think the Chiefs division, there is a more clear favorite potentially in their division. And I think the Chargers are a better team than I think the Steelers are. I think it's much more important for the Chiefs to win to try to keep pace with the Chargers than it is right now for the Ravens to keep pace with the Steelers. I would say it's Kansas City.
Me and you agree. I'm kind of confused as where Nick is coming from. Like, I understand some of his points, but man, if the Chiefs fall to 1-3 and the Chargers are playing the Giants this weekend, we presume they're going to go to 4-0. And you now are a game behind. You're behind in the win column with the AFC West. You're behind in the win column with the chase for the one seed. You are in dire straits. You might be playing in wild card weekend on the road if you lose your Kansas City because of the way everything has happened the first 4 weeks. I get Nick's point, I guess, about the Ravens. Hey, their losses have been more disheartening. But if the Ravens lose on Sunday, man, the Steelers might lose the Vikings, and you're still a game and a half back in your division. You have a gimme, you figure, at some point because the Browns are a layup. I don't think the Steelers are very good, so I think they're kind of a team that could be got. And as you mentioned, the Bengals don't have their starting quarterback. So, like, I think this game is way more important for Kansas City for their goals. They plan on hosting the Arrowhead Invitational. You don't do that at 1-3 with a loss to the Chargers and the Ravens. They plan on winning a 10th ranked division. You don't do that at 1-3 with a loss to the Chargers. They plan on playing in the Super Bowl. Boy, the path to the Super Bowl gets way more difficult if you start 1-3. So I think this game is far more important for Kansas City than it is Baltimore. But that's not to say it's not important for Baltimore.
Yeah, we can take you guys' phone calls or texts on this, 913-586-7965. We played the audio for you. Nick thinks that this game is more important for the Ravens. I think it's more important for the Chiefs. It's important for both teams. We're talking about 2-1-2 teams that both of these teams need to get some positive momentum going. I'm coming at it through the guys, and Rob agrees that just in the division that Kansas City is and just the need to play keep up against a team that has gotten off to a really hot start, I don't know if you can continue to lose ground and give up games. I think the Chiefs need to get this game. You can kind of exhale a little bit. You're 2-2. You get Rashee Rice back in a couple of weeks, and you can kind of regroup and go from there. 1-3, it's not a insurmountable deficit, but you really got to get to work in the AFC West if you're going to be able to win the division. I do think it's more important for Kansas City on Sunday than it is for the Ravens. We'll take your calls coming up on the other side, and there's a story I want you guys to hear from the CEO of Ticketmaster. You will not believe what he said. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to preview the weekend in college football. We'll also talk a little bit more closely about the three local schools. Right now, we're talking about on Sunday, who needs this game more? Who is this game more important for? I think it's more important for the Chiefs because of the division that they're in. I'm taking the Chargers seriously. I don't know if all of you are taking the Chargers seriously, and I get it. The Chargers have a history of disappointing. We call it chargering for a reason. I think you would not be true to, A, the talent that I think is on that team and the schedule that I think the Chargers have. Like, the Chargers just have a schedule that allows you the opportunity to kind of rack up some wins. They play the Giants this week. They play the Dolphins coming up in a couple of weeks. Like, they play Tennessee earlier than you play Tennessee. So, like, there's just there's an opportunity for the Chargers to get out to a 7-2, 8-1 kind of start. And if the Chiefs are just going to be at, you know, 70%, 80% right now, it's about keeping up, keeping pace. And when you get full strength, when you get Rashee Rice back, then you potentially go on that run and try to pass up the Chiefs. The Chiefs still have all their important games right in front of you. I don't think there's any reason to panic. You got the Baltimore game coming up on Sunday. You still play the Bills down the road. You still got a home game against the Chargers that you can directly catch up with them using that game. So there is nothing off the table for the Chiefs, but this is an important game for Kansas City in their division. I just think it's more important for the Chiefs because of the division that they're in. I want to hear from you guys, 913-586-7965. Let's go to the phone lines. Zach thinks the game is more important for the Chiefs as well. Hey, Zach, how you doing today, my man?
Hey, C-Dawg, thanks for taking my call, brother. I really appreciate
it.
Just going to say, I really do think it's more important for the Chiefs, and here's why. Number one indicator is the hole in the division. We've already got a little bit of a hole dug. Nothing that they can't come out of, obviously. But, you know, that 1-3 start really upsets the trajectory of what the Chiefs have been doing over the last 7 years. And I think as a fan base, we've gotten really, really accustomed to that, and that's why people don't feel like the Chargers are a threat. But these are all NFL teams with NFL players that are the best at what they do. They're going to come out and they're going to try to knock who's ever on the top of the mountain off that mountain. So, you know, we need to take it seriously. I do think it's more important for the Chiefs down the road, just with all of the indicators. We're playing the Ravens. They're going to be in it towards the end of the season and the number one seed talk and just the division as a whole. 1-3 is not a good.
I think we lost Zach. Oh, I think we lost Zach. I couldn't hear him there for a while. I was happy to hear the rest of his point. No, I'm with you at least when it comes to the schedule. Someone on the text line points out how the Chiefs' schedule is much more difficult than the Chargers. I mean, that's just a first-place schedule. I mean, the two schedules are largely identical. The difference is the Chiefs have to play the one seed in a couple of divisions, and you don't have to play the one seed. So, for example, the Chargers don't play Buffalo this season. The Chiefs do play Buffalo. The Chiefs finish first in their division. Buffalo finishes first in their division. So you get the first place schedule where they don't get the first place schedule. That's the difference in the schedule. And that's why a big reason, at least talking about outside the division, why I thought Buffalo could potentially be the one seed just because they have the easier schedule. And also goes to say that the Chargers have an easier schedule this year than Kansas City does. Let's go to the phone lines. Jake thinks that this game is more important for Baltimore. Jake, you're on the show. How you doing today, my man?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. I always enjoy talking to you, gentlemen. Here's my theory. A couple things. One, Mahomes is Lamar's kryptonite. And if he has to dig himself out a hole all season and then go into the playoffs and battle himself because of shooting himself in the foot and lackadaisical performances, you know, Mahomes isn't going to do that. So if the Chiefs just get to the playoffs, I have no doubt we're going to be in the AFC Championship game. But if the Ravens get to the playoffs, there's a heavy doubt that Lamar's even going to have a good game. So between structures of salaries and contracts and team builds as well, you know, Lamar's built, and that contract and that team is built for him to perform now, not later. While we have some flexibility and we're in a dynasty. So the Baltimore Ravens need this. We just want this. And the fact that we want it is enough. We're going to go get that W on Sunday. Have a good one. Love y'all.
Absolutely, Jake. I appreciate the phone call. I will say this about the Ravens and when it comes to Lamar. If the Ravens lose this game to Kansas City, you got to start to really ask yourself, hey, when can you beat the Chiefs? I feel like we've said this a couple of times over the last, I don't know, 2-3 seasons. The Chiefs have quite possibly never been more vulnerable than they are this upcoming Sunday. I don't know if they've ever been more vulnerable. I mean, this is the worst offense that Lamar has gone up against. Like, if we're just talking like capability of a shootout, this is the worst offense that the Chiefs have had in one of these matchups. They're currently ranked 21st in the National Football League. Man, if you can't get the Chiefs right now and you lose in the first month of the season to Buffalo and Kansas City, we got to start having conversations about, is Baltimore one of the teams that you really need to be worried about in the AFC? Now, that's not a team I would love to see on Wild Card Weekend. They're still certainly dangerous enough where you got to give the Ravens their respect. But, I mean, if you lose to Buffalo and Kansas City, are we still looking at you like you're in that big three, like you're one of the teams that people need to be seriously worried about when it comes to January? Because you're not going to have any of the necessary tiebreakers that you're going to need late in the season.
Let me ask you a question, and maybe I'm just hearing things differently back here, and that's fine. But both people who said this game is more important for the Ravens, Nick Wright and now caller Jake, it seems like their point is based on Chiefs hubris. Nick and Jake both indicated the Chiefs don't need it. They want it, but they don't need it because ho-hum regular season, find me in December, find me in January, that's when our bread is buttered. Maybe me and you are seeing it differently than people like Jake and Nick, because if you fall to 1-3, I think the success of the postseason run becomes in peril very quickly. If you have to play 3 road games, you don't win the division. If you have to play at a Buffalo or at a Baltimore, even at a Los Angeles, like doing that in successive weeks is a problem for the Chiefs. I wonder if you're hearing the same way I am. Nick, and then I'm going to use Jake as my example. They seem like they're saying this game's more important for Baltimore based on the fact that there's just a hubris the Chiefs will figure it out and they'll win in the postseason.
Well, I mean, I do agree with this logic, and I don't want to speak for anybody, but this is the logic that I'm hearing. I mean, it'd be nice if the Chiefs played these games at home in the postseason, but we know they don't need to play these games at home in the postseason. Now, maybe this is an assumption. I don't really feel good about the Ravens' chances in going on the road in back-to-back weeks to Buffalo and Kansas City in January. They have given me no reason to think that they can win those games. Kansas City has given me reasons to believe they can win those games because I've seen them do it before. So I think that most people in that perspective are looking at it that way. I mean, it'd be great to win the division. We'd like to win the division. But if we end up being a wild card team, and that means that our path to going back to the Super Bowl is on the road against AFC South winner, on the road against Buffalo, on the road against Baltimore, that is not a path that we are worried about. So if you're looking at it through that lens, I can't disagree with you. And that's why I think it's a very interesting question about who this game means more for. If winning the division is your end-all, be-all goal, I think it is more important for Baltimore to win the division than Kansas City to win the division. Where if the Chiefs, let's say the Chiefs end up 11-6, the Chargers end up 12-5 or a little bit better, but Kansas City is healthy, playing good football heading into January, I don't think it really matters where that game is. The public will be on Kansas City's side because there is a history and a track record of the Chiefs winning those kinds of matchups in January, and you would be a fool to pick against Kansas City in the AFC playoffs in January, given what we've seen over the last half decade or so. Coming up on the other side, we're going to switch gears for just a little bit and talk some college football. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to talk some college football with Roddy Jones. He is a former running back at Georgia Tech University. He also does great work for SiriusXM Channel 84 and College Sports Radio. Roddy, happy to have you join us today, man. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely. Let's keep it local here with the Big 12, and then we'll move on to the national storylines. There's been a lot of confusion on what's happened with this K-State team. This was a team that I thought at the very beginning of the season, I thought they had a chance to compete for the Big 12. Their season has not gone that way so far. What have you seen from the Wildcats? What's missing with them?
That's a good question. I think early on, there was some – obviously, the Dylan Edwards injury, I think, hurt. But not being able to get Jace Brown going in those early games has hurt as well. The offensive line hasn't been quite as good as I think we expected it to be. Defensively, I think a lot of what Joe Klanderin does defensively. But for some reason, the pieces just haven't fit. And K-State kind of falls into this category with Clemson, to me, of a team that, like, all the ingredients are there, but for whatever reason, as Reese Davis would say, the casserole just doesn't taste very good when you put it all together. So something that has gone on this offseason has caused Chris Klieman to not be able to reach this team successfully. Now, I mean, the beauty of it is it's still early. They can still turn things around. They're going to need a heck of a turnaround, though, if they're going to make it to the Big 12 championship game. So it's a little confusing on why they're as unsuccessful as they have been. And I don't know, like you can obviously see what is missing. Like you can see that the consistency isn't there, but the reason why it's not there, I think, is more confusing.
Yeah, I thought that Avery Johnson was just going to be a little bit further developed. It really seems like their offense has stalled as a whole. This is a quarterback who just a couple of weeks ago, he had 60 yards from scrimmage. He threw for 88 yards in that game against Arizona. And it seems like the rush attack from K-State just isn't as potent as I expected it to be.
Yeah, I think your point on Avery Johnson's a good one. And there were some pretty significant fundamental things
that he needed to correct in the offseason, and I don't think he entirely did. I think the you look at the run game, and that to me always goes back to the offensive line first and foremost. And so the offensive line, which has been a strength of Kansas State's over the last few seasons, I think has let him down a little bit. The loss of DJ Giddens probably proves to be a little bit more than we expected it to be on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, he was really good at turning a short gain into a medium gain and a medium gain into a pretty significant chunk. And then missing the explosiveness of Dylan Edwards early, I think really hurt this team. So, I have a theory about teams that kind of suffer those types of losses week one. I just think their confidence is shaken and they have to figure out who they are. And unfortunately for K-State, you started with Iowa State and then you take the loss to Army and then the stuff is just kind of piled up on them. So I would imagine that within the walls of that building, there is a team that is searching for itself. And it's really hard to find out who you are over the course of a season when you're in conference play already.
Roddy, let's talk about the Missouri Tigers here. They are off to a very impressive start. Their schedule is about to heat up here coming up in a couple of weeks with a home game against Alabama. Do you think Missouri's a team that can make the college football playoff?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, this is a team that's won double-digit games each of the last two seasons. We got a quarterback in Bo Prabula that's been one of the top quarterbacks in the country so far, especially when you look at quarterback rating. He's top 15 in the nation in quarterback rating, and a running back in Ahmad Hardy that's probably the best running back in the SEC. So I don't see why not. That staff is probably the most underrated staff in the country in terms of what they've been able to do. I don't think Missouri gets enough credit for just how well they have recruited, developed, identified talent. I mean, Eli Drinkwitz just keeps pulling these running backs out of like nowhere. It was Cody Strader a few years ago. Nate Noel was a good player at App State. And then you get Ahmad Hardy and you're like, man, where does he keep pulling these guys from? But they do a great job with their scheme, really creative in their run schemes to run the football. I really enjoy watching them. So yes, this is a team that can make the college football playoffs. I think that is absolutely in the realm of possibilities. You mentioned the Bama game a little bit later on. Is that in a couple weeks? Is that in 2 or 3 weeks, that Bama game? But when you're going through the SEC schedule, that Bama game October 11th, when you're going through the SEC schedule, I think you can get away with two losses. And if it's the right three losses and you have a couple wins to go with, but I think this year we could be a team out of the SEC with three losses make it. Could it be Missouri? Maybe. If you lose, let's say, to Alabama, A&M, Oklahoma, those are going to be teams that are probably ranked. But then people are going to turn around and say, well, who are the wins? So I do think Missouri can, but I think you're going to have to get through the league with only two losses, no more than that.
Right now, we're talking to Roddy Jones for a couple more minutes here. He is with SiriusXM Channel 84, College Sports Radio. We got two big games this weekend. The first one, Oregon and Penn State. I think we all are asking the same question about Penn State. Every year, they are very, very good, but they are unable to get that big-time marquee signature win. They got another chance on Saturday. Who do you like between the Ducks and the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, I like Oregon in this game, and it's less because of Penn State's history in the, quote, big games, and more based on who Penn State has played. And I actually push back a little bit on the Penn State not being able to win big games. I mean, the college football playoff games are big, and just because it was SMU in the first game and Arizona State in the second game, it was Boise State in the second game. That doesn't make them not big games. Now, the top five, the record against top five, AP top five opponents, like, that's a pretty damning one for James Franklin. I will say that, the teams that he has lost to in recent years, Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, those are teams that competed for the national championship. So this team is right there. I don't think they're as good as Oregon overall, despite all the talent they had coming back because of the way they played so far this year. The offensive line has been a bit underwhelming. The quarterback play, Drew Aller, is I think, pretty fortunate that you've had guys like Arch Manning out there struggling, because no one has really talked about Drew Aller's struggles so far this year. Like, he's been pretty poor. You've had Nicholas Singleton struggling a little bit at running back. So, I think this is a Penn State team that's facing its first test at a bad time because they haven't looked great so far this year. And I do think it's a team that you'll probably see in a college football playoff, although that looks different now because they've got Ohio State later this season and they play Indiana. And like that Indiana team looked like a rolling ball of butcher knives against Illinois. Like they were absolutely fearsome. So I am optimistic, cautiously optimistic on Penn State because of the talent, but they haven't really put it together so far this season. This would be a great week to do it with the whiteout at night in Happy Valley.
I'll get you out of here with this last preview. We got Alabama and Georgia. The thing that stood out to me early in the season with Alabama against Florida State was they got beat up on both sides of the line of scrimmage. They couldn't run the ball, and Florida State ran all over them. You got to try to out-physical Georgia in this matchup, and I'm not sure if Alabama can do it. I like Georgia at home. I actually like Georgia kind of big in this matchup.
Wow, I have not heard that one. I don't think Georgia wins big. I don't think that defense is good enough to stop Alabama consistently. They couldn't stop Tennessee. You needed a missed field goal at the end of that Tennessee game, a missed chip shot field goal at the end of that Tennessee game, or else we'd be having an entirely different conversation about Georgia. And Alabama over the last few weeks has kind of gotten itself together. I mean, Ty Simpson was phenomenal against Wisconsin. You can say what you want about level of competition, but you compare that against Georgia's performances against Marshall and Austin Peay, and Alabama certainly has been the more impressive team in the non-con. That win over Tennessee, definitely the most impressive of the bunch of what either team has done. But again, Georgia needed a little bit of fortune to get that one. I think Georgia can win this game. I mean, they have not lost at home at night since 2009. Now, some of that comes with an asterisk because for years they played their biggest home games at 3:30 because CBS had the rights. So they haven't played a ton of like big time matchups at night until really this year. But they still haven't lost. I mean, they've won like 33 straight home games. Like there's something about this Georgia team at home that I think will be difficult for Alabama to overcome. I think that when you look at overall. Just winning in the SEC at night, I think it's so tough. I do think Alabama will be able to move the ball. I do think they'll be able to score. Thing is, Alabama has not been able to get after the quarterback this year. Neither is Georgia. Georgia doesn't have a defensive lineman with a sack this year. So I think the comfort of the quarterbacks makes this a shootout. I'm going to give the home field advantage to Georgia or the advantage to Georgia because of home field. But I think it's a close game. I think it goes right down to the wire.
That is Roddy Jones joining us on the show today. You can hear him on SiriusXM Channel 84 and College Sports Radio. Roddy, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah, appreciate it. Have a great one.
Absolutely. That is Roddy Jones joining us on the show today to talk a little bit of college football. We'll get back to the NFL coming up at the top of the hour. Lamar Jackson, he is in a very interesting class. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.